Good morning, everyone. Morning, and a very warm welcome to our service of worship this morning. It's great to see you all. Just a couple of notices. Most of you probably know that we're collecting in aid of relief for the Turkey and Syria earthquake appeal. So that's next to, on the table outside, next to the usual collecting bowl. So you can donate either cash or card. So that's an extra collection for as I say, the earthquake appeal. Also, most of you have probably seen the wonderful stall that Margaret's set out in the foyer with tradecraft items on. I'd encourage you all to have a browse and to support that after the service. So, the notice is out of the way, so it gives me great pleasure to welcome Mandy to lead our service this morning.
I think there's two here. I hope you've all dived into the chocolate. I've left it there for a treat. Has anybody missed out because there wasn't enough on your table? I think you need to turn me down a bit, please. Thank you. Nobody's missed out.
I'll wait to see how the service goes before I begin.
Well, that means not everybody's had one, because there aren't enough pieces of chocolate for the number of people in this room. And the point was,
Mandy, it's just a little bit early for breakfast for some of us. So keep it there. I'm not saying we won't.
It's never too early for chocolate. Never too early. We'll come back to that. I have altered the service considerably since the events of Tuesday and Wednesday in our prayer groups, so there won't be as much sharing round the table as I normally would have. So bear with me. There's things I need to tell you. So, chocolate. Well, what is it the day after tomorrow? Valentine's Day. I thought everybody would know that. Who was he? Does anybody know who he was? Any volunteers? Who was Valentine? A saint. Let me tell you. If you Google it, there are quite a few accounts of who he was. But really, it boils down to this. St. Valentine was a Roman Catholic priest living in Rome during the 3rd century AD. He became famous for agreeing to marry couples who were in love, but who found that they couldn't legally get married in Rome because the emperor forbade all marriages. He wanted to recruit lots of men into his army, and he thought that marriage would be an obstacle and a distraction. So, no weddings. When Claudius discovered that Valentine was prepared to marry people, he sent him to prison, where he spent his time sharing his faith. He befriended his jailer, Asterius, who became so impressed with Valentine that he begged him to help his daughter, Julia, who was very bright but was blind and needed help. This Valentine did, and they became close friends. Claudius then offered to pardon Valentine if he would renounce his Christian faith. Valentine refused point blank to do this, as you would expect a priest to do. And he was sentenced to death. Before he was killed, Valentine wrote a last note to Julia to encourage her to stay close to Jesus and to thank her and Asterius for becoming his friends. And he signed the note, well, you can probably guess, "From your Valentine." A couple of hundred years later, he was made a saint, and people remembered what he'd written, and it just became common on the day that he was killed, February 14th, Valentine's Day, to write a note, "From your Valentine." Believe it or believe it not, but there must be some element of truth in it. What's the most romantic thing you've ever been given on Valentine's Day? You'll not beat mine. I have had roses, I have had chocolates, but the best of all was he served me breakfast and gave me a heart-shaped piece of toast. He's cringing. You be careful. I think Valentine would really approve of our choice of our first hymn. My song is "Love Unknown."
Oh,
We had a wedding here in November, Helen and Joe's wedding, and they chose as their reading probably the most famous reading of all about love. 1 Corinthians 13. Shall we read it together? Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Always, love never fails. As I said at the wedding, the cynics might say, that's just too beautiful to describe real life. It's too idealistic, come on, get real. But the God we believe in doesn't speak of love in abstractions or ideals or impossibilities. It's not just beautiful poetry. God showed us exactly what love is all about when he took on flesh and human form in the form of Jesus. Jesus lived out the love described in this passage. We saw for ourselves love in action. Look what happens if we replace love with Jesus. Let's read it again. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. But we profess to be followers of Jesus. What happens if I put I am instead of Jesus? Are you comfortable with that? No, neither am I. I don't want to read it because I know I fail again and again. So instead of reading it, let's pray about it. Let's pray. God of love, we confess we are sometimes impatient and often unkind. We are quick to envy and find subtle ways to boast. There are times we are rude and lift ourselves up as we put others down. God of love, forgive us. We confess that we are quickly angered. We are quick to record how often we've been wronged. There are times we celebrate the misfortune of others. Forgive us. We confess that so often we put ourselves first. We're reluctant to give, we are slow to sacrifice. And there are times we hesitate to protect. Loving God, forgive us and teach us how to love. When we are tempted to disbelieve in the power of your love, remind us again and again to trust. When we are tempted to despair, to assume all is lost, may your love remind us to hope. When we are tempted just to give up, to assume things will never change, may your love remind us to persevere. Amen. So, remaining seated, we sing, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see.
Commented at the wedding that there was one verse that maybe might surprise us. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus is not easily angered. Who or what made Jesus angry? Talk around your table and find out more examples than the money changers. I knew you would say that. Are there any more? What made him cross? Children come to him.
Yes.
Okay. Not very easy, is it, to think of many? With the children, do you remember him saying, let the children come to me? But as David and I have said, it depends how Jesus said it. If he said, let the children come to me, or come on, let the children come to me. But the one time, and you were right, when he was absolutely furious because he could see the injustice of those money changers. They were charging people too much in the temple. And they weren't letting the people come and pray. And this is what he says, isn't it? My house should be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. I'm going to split that comment into two, because I want to tell you what happened at the prayer meetings on Tuesday and Wednesday. My house should be a house of prayer. This house should be a house of prayer. We, as followers, should be full of prayer. Are we? Sadly, we no longer pray, or there are no longer prayers in here every day at midday as there used to be, for very good reasons. But let's praise God that a new prayer group began last Tuesday evening in room 3 or by Zoom. I was in it via Zoom. I wasn't actually there, but I heard what David prayed at one point. They prayed for the prayer group that meets every week in the Kingfisher for breakfast. They prayed about our witnessing there. We used to go round and speak to everybody and say, we are from Pointer Methodist Church, we are a prayer group, is there anything that you want us to pray about? People were never, ever rude. You might be surprised by that. We were sort of dismissed sometimes, but nobody, I don't remember anybody, ever really being rude. Sad to say, since COVID, we just haven't started that again. We just sit in our own little group. Was God giving us a gentle or not so gentle nudge? So arriving for breakfast at 9 o'clock the next morning at the Kingfisher, before I could say a word, Anne, who'd also been there, said, before she even sat down, Mandy, we've got to start going round talking to people again. We've got to be real witnesses here. That prompted three of us to get up and go round. The Holy Spirit undoubtedly prompted us, but my goodness, how he encouraged us by what happened. I went to two well-dressed young men, who it turned out were brothers. I explained who I was and was there anything they wanted me to pray about. And they looked at each other, sort of in amazement. And I thought, they're just going to say, no, thank you. But they didn't. They told me they were having the day off work that day, having breakfast together, and then they were going out on a walk in the countryside in the sunshine, because it was 2 years to the day that their mother had died, aged 57, from dementia. They were visibly moved and they asked me to pray for all sufferers of dementia and for a cure. More amazing than that, Anne went to another gentleman who asked, did you used to do this about 3 to 4 years ago? I remember a tall lady with blonde hair coming and asking me the same question. I think she was called Marie. For those of you who've joined us recently, Marie had moved here to live near her children after her husband died of cancer. She'd been with us about 2 years when she discovered she had cancer in her eye. And she had her eye removed. She was an amazing lady and such a witness to the strength of her faith. It'll be all right, she used to say. It'll be all right. Fancy that man remembering her. It's 3 years tomorrow since she died, so it's over 3 years ago. Fancy him remembering what she looked like, what her name was. But then he went on to say, he'd asked her to pray for his brother-in-law who had cancer that they thought, and so did the doctors, was incurable. That man is now fit and well. And he felt that our prayers played a significant part in the recovery. Later on, as we finished our breakfast, that same gentleman came over to us, and we're right on the other side of the Kingfisher. Thanked us again, and asked us now to pray for the wife of the man he'd been talking about. His sister, in other words. They now live in Australia and she now has breast cancer. my house, my people, should be a house of prayer. Just think about it for a moment. I am utterly convinced that if we want revival in this church, we have to pray more and more. Wouldn't it be great if somebody today said, I'd like to start another prayer group, here maybe in an afternoon. The more of us who pray, the stronger we will be. Think about it as we sing, O breath of life, come sweeping through us, revive your church with life and power. My house should be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Now there's a challenge. Have we made it a den of thieves? I sincerely hope not. Not in the same way as the money changers did, anyway. You know, when Jesus saw an injustice, he acted and he did something about it. He showed righteous anger. Shouldn't we show that same anger and act when we know that people are being treated unfairly? At Christmas, on Christmas Day, God gave me another gentle reminder. Helen and Joe brought me a gift to say thank you. And this was in it. Tony's Chocolony Chocolate. There it is. Lots of different flavours. And that's what you've got on your table. I bought two advent calendars and pressed all the doors and got you samples of it. I'd never heard of it. Without unwrapping it, I tried to share it with Chris. I was very surprised that it didn't break up easily. Even more surprised when a completely round bit fell out. If I'd opened it, that's what I would have seen. That's how it's divided up. It's making a point. It's saying that this chocolate, the proceeds, the profits made from it, are not equally divided. And the people who fail to get very much are the growers. It tells you on the outside of the package to make sure you open it fully and you read what it says. And it says this: share our chocolate, share our story. Right now there is modern slavery on cocoa farms in West Africa. This is a result of the unequally divided cocoa chain. Tony's Chocolony exist to change that. Our vision is 100% slave-free chocolate. Not just our chocolate, but chocolate worldwide. With incredibly tasty chocolate, we lead by example and show the world that chocolate can be made differently, taste good, packaged in a way that doesn't harm the environment. Alone, we make slave-free chocolate. But together we can make all chocolate 100% slave-free, and we ask you to join us. That red, that round bit was their symbol, look, breaking the chains of slavery. That's the Advent calendar I bought, so you could share it. And there's all the flavours that they make. I talked to Linda Grant about this. I don't think she's here today. And she said to me, "Mandy, I wish you hadn't told me about that chocolate. Because you know what? They sell it in Waitrose now. And it's delicious. It's Belgian chocolate." So if you see Linda putting on a lot of weight, blame me. They say on their label they're crazy about chocolate, serious about people. Of course, there is a fair trade label on their chocolate. You can find it, it's there. Very familiar logo, yes? Next to it is a rainforest logo with the frog. They guarantee to look after the environment, but the growers do benefit, but not as much as if it had a fair trade logo on it. I'm going to confess to you again, it's confession day, obviously, that for the last three and a half, four years, Chris and I have been so swamped with health concerns for both of us that fair trade issues that I was once passionate about have just gone under the radar. I suspect it has for many of you when I've talked to people about it. So we went round the supermarket, Waitrose, looking for logos. We looked at the tea and the coffee first. We know that so often the growers of coffee beans and tea are paid a pittance. That's why fair trade came into existence in the first place. We were delighted to see that there are logos on far more brands now. The message is going round. But what about chocolate? How much fair trade chocolate is there? We were, or I was, surprised to see that logo. I'd never seen it before. Excuse my ignorance. Sometimes it's just that round bit, the green bit. That's on Cadbury's chocolate. And the more we looked, the more we saw of that logo on Cadbury's chocolate. They hope that by 2025, all their chocolate will be fair traded, or at least 100% sustainably sourced. What do they mean? They mean that it teaches cocoa farmers to grow crops in a way that look after the environment. It plants trees and protects the future of cocoa regions. It ensures cocoa farmers can earn a good living, meaning a better quality of life for their families and communities. It cares for cocoa growing communities so children can have access to education. Cadbury's came out of fair trade and made their own logo. I don't know which is better. And you put big question marks by it, don't you? But I do believe that they are trying, that they have heard what we are saying. Yes? Have you noticed that logo, the one that I'd never seen? No. Anybody noticed it before? Please, if you don't do anything else after this service, go around the supermarket, whichever you go to, and look. You might discover some more. Did you know Maltesers are fair traded? The first Mars fair trade brand. Did you know Aldi sold fair trade flowers? I spoke at the Baptist church the other week, and they always give me something at the end of it. And a bunch of beautiful roses that lasted a fortnight. And in huge letters, I'm glad to say, written round the paper was fair trade. Often on here, it's so small, you almost need a magnifying glass. But they were saying, we are fair traded roses. I then asked if our cafe is fair traded. Linda said, mostly, has been for a long time, mostly, but not always. I don't know how many years ago it was that we tried to get fair trade passed by church council in this church, and we failed. If I asked Stuart to put it on the agenda again at the council meeting in March, will we again fail? We are not registered as a fair trade cafe. Should we be? Should we be?
Yes.
Absolutely. And then Judy realised we were making a mistake. When we have funerals here, very often the people want to feed people afterwards, and we ask them to provide the food and the tea and the coffee. But what we're not saying is, please buy fair traded tea and coffee. It's so obvious now. And that meant we were being left with tea and coffee that's not fair traded. We've got a rare assortment in our kitchen. Are we serious about this? or are we not? We used to have a banner across the front of the cafe, didn't we? We provide fair trade tea and coffee. It's not there now. We're not witnessing to that. We should be, shouldn't we? We're an eco church. Are we advertising that? Yes, on our notices. I don't see it on the front of our church or anywhere in the foyer. Should we not be witnessing to Poynton that we are an eco-friendly church and that we sell fair trade goods? Yes. Why do we not witness to this? At Marie's funeral and at Joe's and Helen's wedding, a poem was read out. A witness is someone who stands out because they are not afraid to stand up. One who outreaches others because they reach out to others. One who lifts them up because they bend down to their weakness. Someone whose heart has grown great because they have learnt to become small. A witness is this and more. They are someone who walks across the wasteland of human lives and uncovers hidden openings, who opens windows everywhere to the sunlight and springtime fragrance of the risen Lord. And passing through the door of self-filled hearts, they light and leave behind an everlasting flame. Ultimately, a witness is someone who does these things because they are not afraid to love. Marie was a supreme example of that. So is Helen, who's the bride. She runs a cafe and as much as she can sells fair trade. We all know that Helen supported fair trade. She wasn't afraid to tell us, was she? Not at all. Let's witness to what we believe in. My house should be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Let's redress that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those here who have encouraged us to become an eco church. Will you strengthen the group who meet to discuss the next steps? And will you help us all to take this seriously in our own personal lives so that we care for your wonderful world, the world that you have given to us? Remind us again about fair trade, about treating the growers of tea, coffee, cocoa, flowers, and much more with respect, and doing what we can do to ensure they are paid a fair wage. And we pray for our church council when they discuss this. We bless you for the new prayer group. and the way it spoke to the Wednesday group. Please strengthen both groups. We thank you for the memories that this has evoked of Marie. My house shall be a house of prayer. Help us to increase this in this, your church, and within our lives as individuals. Remind us, Lord, to reach out to those who were once part of this community, this church, and who are now in care homes, who are in hospital, or who are ill at home. And we pray for Carol, for Peggy, now 100 years old and virtually bedridden. For Hilary, and unless I say her surname, you won't know which one, Hilary Parry, who is now in hospital. Will you bring healing and strength and comfort to them, we pray. We picture in our minds, Lord, the devastation in Turkey and in Syria. We find it hard to know what to say. We pray for all who mourn the loss of a loved one or loved ones. We pray for aid workers working in that dreadful situation. We pray that more aid will reach them and reach them quickly. And we bless you for people's generosity. We pray again that you will raise up for yourself new peacemakers in the conflict between Turkey and Syria. And all the other places in our world where strife reigns. I pray for the members of our government. That wise decisions will be made, especially when we think of Ukraine and Russia. And in a moment's silence, we pray for those things that concern us personally. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift of prayer that you have left with us. Teach us to pray. Amen. And so we sing our final hymn. Teach me how to stand for justice. Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please sit down and finish these chocolates off. I do not wish to take them home. And there's your challenge before you dive in. How will you act? Please just watch the adverts go round once before you move. Please, it takes the people doing the computer ages to put these adverts up. So, Jonathan, hang on. Watch the adverts go round once, because there are some important ones. Why not join Tuesday's prayer group?
Can you tell us
Let's wait for these to go around once and then I will, okay? Join the prayer breakfast, 9 o'clock. Women's World Day of Prayer, Friday, March the 4th. Here. Friday, March the 3rd. Here at 2 o'clock, please support it. Don't forget coffee and chat every Wednesday. Thank you so much for those who brought knickers and underpants for Dalston Lane. I've got about 3 big bags full. Next week is the last chance to do it, to bring them. Next week's service, I'm afraid it's me again, but there will be a guest speaker, Helen Howe, who used to work for Christian Aid. She'll be speaking about Just Ice, the cafe, who really advertise outside that they are a fair trade cafe, don't they? Have you noticed? So, David, you ask what happened at the Tuesday prayer group. Do you want to speak to it? David's idea. David led it, along with Claire.
Well, I've not prepared anything to say, so it's off the cuff, and I'm likely to upset someone, so apologies for that in advance. David, it's... It was born out of an idea I had in the middle of the night about 6 months ago, and I just thought it's a big opportunity for everybody to have the chance to deepen their faith as they hopefully see God in action, but also it's an opportunity to outreach into the community through prayer, and it's so important, I was led to think, that we prepare people to go out into the community. And by that, I mean by praying for them. Praying that the people that we meet, their hearts, their hardened hearts are opened, and whatever we say will resound with them some way. We've no idea how that's going to happen. It's going to happen because of what God's going to do, and the Holy Spirit. So we meet in room 3, although having said that, we might actually now all squash into the old minister's room, because the guides are in rooms 1 and 2, and just occasionally it was a bit of a distraction, and so we might go in there. But we start off with a few prayers, and then we have a meditation, which Claire leads. And that lasts about 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes, the meditation. And then we go to intercessory prayers. And it's during that time that everybody can join in. And who knows where it's going to lead. But it's all about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's not about us. It's about outreach and deepening our faith. I think that's everything, if that's okay. Oh, yes. So the timings, well, originally it was 30 to 40 minutes. That's what we're aiming for. You can do it by coming along, or at the same time, you can do it by Zoom. If you've got a computer, you can't get out. I've also got some sheets which you can take. Sadly, I forgot to bring them. I did have them with me on Tuesday, and I bundled everything up together and took his home. Sadly, I forgot to bring it back this morning. But you can. I can get one to you, one way or the other. So you don't have to come here. You don't have to have the technology. You can just do it at the same time at home by yourself, if you so wish. So you've no excuse. Sorry. I told you I was going to upset someone. So I think that's everything. Yeah, thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you.